Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
Today's client's name is very unique. I searched high and dry for this name, and I picked John.
High and dry.
High and low.
Oh, Karen.
Oh.
All right.
That's such a fail.
I just want everyone to know that her story is better than her introduction. So let's get into it.
Okay.
I have heard this one several times before we got the chance to sit down right now and record. So go ahead.
Okay.
I'm excited.
John is a telephone call. He's got half an hour booked, and he starts by simply saying, "Can you tell me anything about my friend Dinesh?" And I said, "Okay, I need a minute to connect." By the way, John doesn't say dead or alive, doesn't say anything like that.
I do. I would like to say, I think it's hilarious that you made a big kerfuffle about naming this client John, neglected to say that you also named the other person with a very wonderful name, Dinesh.
Yep. So Dinesh says to me, "Oh, Karen, I'm in between." And I said, "Oh,
dimensions.
I totally know what in between means. Yes, dimensions." And I said, "What happened?" So Dinesh says, "Well, I was in a car accident a couple of days ago. I have brain trauma and I'm more on the other side than I am on Earth. But I know exactly what's going on Earth. I'm in my hospital room. I'm hearing, I'm feeling, I'm seeing. I'm going to tell you everything that John wants confirmed. And I'm going to answer John's questions. But I want to begin by saying I'm okay. And I want you to tell John that while my body is, it looks like it's not doing well right now, my spirit is totally fine. My consciousness is fine. I know where I am and I know what's going on." So I said, "Okay." So I asked John, I said, "Hey, this is what I'm being told." And always have a little bit of a panicky moment, Kelly, because imagine if that was just all wrong.
Don't you feel that in every fucking session?
Yes. But I mean, okay.
I do in every single session.
Yeah, that's true.
With every single message.
Yeah, okay.
Moving on.
I feel so deflated with that, but that's so true. Okay. So I guess I'm just repeating myself then, because I was super nervous to say, "John, this is where Dinesh says he is." And he goes, "Yep." Because man, oh man, if you're wrong about that, that's a lot that you're wrong about. That's very serious. And he says, "No, that's correct. He's in the hospital. He was in a car accident." And he says, "Is he saying anything else?" And I said, "Well, he's in a coma." And he goes, "Yep." He goes, "Can you tell me more, please?" He goes, I will ask questions, Karen. If you don't get to it, is it okay if I just let him talk?" He goes, "I just need to hear him talk." So Dinesh says to me, "Oh, and by the way, I think I'm getting his name like Dinesh, Dinesh."
100%, you're getting this wrong. But yeah, anyway. Think,
okay, thanks.
All the letters are there. They just keep getting messed up.
I think I could spell the name if I was asked.
Okay.
But anyway, he says to me, "I don't have any family." He says, "I have friends." And he says, "I also need to confirm and just give you some other validations that John is my emergency contact. I do not have a power of attorney." And I'm thinking, you don't have a power of attorney. But this is my thought.
Well, that means he probably doesn't have a will.
Exactly. But I'm thinking, how come? And he replies to me, and he says to me, "I don't have a power of attorney for my estate, like for a will, or for power of attorney for my medical condition. So John's it. He's my emergency contact. But he's going to have to figure out what that means in terms of who's going to make the final decisions." And I said, "Well, what do you want to tell him about final decisions? What's like, is that what he's looking for?" And he goes, "I want him to know that I have no desire to be on Earth. And it's not that the car accident is a suicide. I don't mean that. It truly is an accident. But the condition of his body is such that he says, I would have to live in a nursing home for the rest of my life if they're going to keep me on life support. I am not going to recuperate. I am not going to be a miracle. I am not going to get up and walk or talk. I don't have ability to do this.
I think this is so important for people to hear, because we as the humans can sometimes get into our very human thoughts and think we have to do everything we can to bring them back, to give them life, to give them, you know, to show them we're not giving up on them. And we think it's noble, and it's not. It's this selfish drive to say that we didn't give up when the soul is saying, I don't want that life. I don't want you to keep working hard at something that is only going to give me 20% of my life back. I want to go. So we end up making it about us.
Yes. So I told John that, and oh my, there was such a big sigh of relief. And then John says to me, can you tell me anything else about what's going on in the room? And Denise says, I certainly can. He says, there in a couple of ways, Karen. Number one, he says, I have friends that have arrived in the room, and I have a variety of friends. And he says, so I have a work friend that has shown up. I have a friend that I do sports with. I have a friend that lives in my building, my apartment building. I have friends, but they don't all know each other. And he says, so I have friends showing up in the room, and they're all saying that they're my best friend. And John wants to know, who the hell is your best friend? Because do I defer as emergency contact to your bestie? What do I do? Because there's no family. And Dinesh says, no, I don't want you to do that. I picked you as my emergency contact because you're practical. Be practical. When the doctors come into the room and say to you that there's no brain activity, be practical. When they say there's no chance of me walking again, sitting again, talking again, be practical. It's why I picked you. So I repeated that to John, and all I hear on the other end of the line is, okay, okay. But you can hear a little bit more sureness in the okay. What else is going on in the room? And I said, he's saying that there are some squabbles going on in his hospital room in front of him, but because he's unconscious, they don't think that he's listening. They think that he's sleeping, or I don't know. I don't know all the things they think, but he says that they're squabbling in the room over who's best friend, who's the bestie, and who the doctor should actually be speaking to. And none of them think that it should be John. So the only thing that they're all agreeing on is that we have to remove John from these conversations, and then we'll all have a fight and see who the hospital picks. And he says, yes, can you ask him why? What's underneath all of that? I have my thoughts, but I don't know these people. And I said, okay. So then Dinesh comes in and says, and he names them. He says, this person, and he names one of them. So I'm making up all the names, of course, and I'll say, Mark is there because he wants any financial things that could come out in a will. And he wants to know if he's in the will because he knows I have no family. He didn't even know I had all of these other friends. So he thought at some point, if anything ever happened to me, or when he heard I was in this situation, that if there's money there, and he knows I have money because of my job, that he wants to be in line in case there's nobody there. He just wants money. So Dinesh starts to explain that several of the friends, including the work friend, are there not just because they're upset because of what happened to him. They are. But a secondary reason that's kind of surfacing on day three after the accident was the fact that doesn't look like he's coming out of a coma. If he's going to die, who's going to get his money? And now this is what's going on in the room. So I said, so there are conversations in the room about that. And he goes, that's right. He goes, to ask him, what in God's name do I do? And I said to Dinesh, what do you want me to say? He's asking you. And he goes, well, he says, I want John to tell the medical staff that he wants to be taken out of the room to discuss anything medical, that it's to be between the medical staff and just John. Every time it occurs in the room, where the medical staff walk in and say, okay, this is what's going on, too many people are hearing it, and then they all think they have an opinion, and they all think that they're supposed to tell the medical staff what they think their opinion is, because there's no main person. So I want John to go out in the hall, also because I don't want that conversation in the room. I don't like it. John says to me, fair enough. I don't like it either. I think that's a great idea. He goes, what else does he want to say to me right now? I need to know. Dinesh then says, I want him to book an appointment with the social worker at the hospital to be able to get some kind of guidance as to proper protocol in any way, and to be supportive of John for whatever John is going through, not just in terms of what the doctors are asking or discussing, but emotionally, like in all kinds of ways. I want him to see a social worker, and they have them at the hospital. Tell him, book it today, like go right away. So I told him that. He thanked me for that. Anything else he wants to say? And now we're getting to the end of the half hour, and Dinesh says, yes, I saved the best for last. I want him to know that I know he's been there all 3 days. I want him to know that he's taken time off work to be with me. I want him to know that he holds my feet. He'll stand at the end of the bed and he'll hold on to my feet. And I want him to know that sometimes, like, he'll touch my leg, but he thinks just below the knee. And I don't know why he's doing that, other than he's just uncomfortable. And he says, he's also held my hand from time to time. It's not for very long. He'll just sort of touch it. And he says, or just sort of grip it a little bit and give it a squeeze. And he says, so that's not really like holding my hand, like for a long period, but I want him to know what he's doing and that I feel him holding my hand. And I want to thank him. He's making me feel safe and he's making me feel calm. I really appreciate it. And he goes, but now that I'm kind of third day in, he says, I'm really more on the other side, Karen. He says, I know what he's doing and I want him to know it matters. And he says, but I don't have any more anxiety. And I hear him talking about this woman that he's dating. And he says, I just want him to know that I hear. He says, and that it's brand new. I never knew he was dating this woman. He says, so this is like new news. He goes, I want him to know that I know. I just want him to know that this is a really lovely woman. I've kind of checked her spirit out from the other side now that I'm over here and I got a little few things that I'm learning how to do. And he says, not saying whether this is a life partner or not, but she's very nice and that I approve. Go for it. Date. And he says, because that would be something that he would want to tell me right now. And he goes, and he's talking about her and he's describing her and stuff. And he goes, I just want him to know that I'm hearing it and that I really care about him and that I love him and that I'm so glad I picked him as my emergency contact. He was the right choice. And the doctors are going to say end of life. They're going to say today. And when they go to do this, I guarantee I'm going to pass very quickly. I am not hanging on. It's not going to be days and weeks. He goes, I'm going to go very quickly. So please tell him that, because he's going to be heading up to the hospital soon to see me again. And I want him to know that this should be it. He shouldn't have to come back to the hospital again. Hmm. And he goes, and I just want to say that he's doing such a good job of taking care of me. And I'm sorry about the will. I'm sorry I didn't do anything. I figured because I was in my 50s, I had decades to get a will done. Turns out I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And he says, please tell him I'm so sorry about this, and to not let the other friends ruin his time with me at the very end. that brought us to the end of our half hour. And I said to John, are you okay? Because at this point, holy geez, that is a lot to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot. And he said to me, look, he said, I am that practical person. He says, I can very easily go to the hospital, have that meeting with the doctors, and be 100% confident and calm to make that decision. This puts me over the top in my confidence.
Yeah, it just like blocks out the noise.
Yeah. He goes, and it just changed something in my stomach, Karen. Mm. He goes, because as much as I'm confident in my head, my stomach would make me want to puke.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, but now I can go in there and my stomach won't be upset. He goes, I won't have shaky hands. He goes, I'm just going to go in and get it done. He goes, I can't thank you enough. He goes, you gave me great validations, because that's absolutely perfect about the woman. He says, it's totally spot on about the timing and that he's never heard about her. He says, you've given me beautiful validations. And he says, I'm so glad to hear he's not suffering and that he's good with what's where his spirit is and what he has ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was our half hour session together.
It's lovely. I think it all is also a timely episode to remind people to get their affairs mm-hmm. in order, no matter how young or old you are.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.